Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Lero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 80. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Arrow, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, sir?
I was going to say, I think my brain has finally recovered from last week.
Oh, yeah? Last week was a little tough for you?
Yeah, I went to radio, which is our super secret internal R&D conference.
I
got a special invite, which was a lot of fun. And man, I mean, you can see on paper that VMware spends over $1 billion in R&D, and then you go see the quick talks and the presentations and talk to the engineers who have flown in from all over the world and see all the cool things that not only is already out there and shipping, but all the things they're working on. And you're like, well, how do you do that? And they explain it. I'm like, oh man, that is incredibly clever. We have some very, very smart people working for us. It's a good place to be.
Oh, yeah. You were like a kid at a candy shop on our internal Slack. John was like blowing up our message. Look at this. Can you believe it? They're doing this. This is great.
They figured out how to do this. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, that was me.
Good stuff. Hey, well, I'm excited about this episode as well because this is a product that I've used as a customer for years. I supported it at a vendor, and now it's something that's been around at VMware for a really long time, and there's a reason for that because it's an awesome product. And so here to talk to us about Site Recovery Manager and what's new is no stranger to the podcast, Mr. GS Khalsa. GS, welcome back to the podcast, my friend.
Thanks, Pete. Good to be here.
Man, you've been around for a while. Like, I think even when I was at a vendor, you were already working SRM. So you're like an OG these days.
Yeah. There was three of us doing availability when I first started with VMware, and I'm the only one left.
They're just heaping it on you, man. You're just killing it.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah, for sure.
Always fun. Helping people prepare for the worst things that are going to happen. So,
fire, flood, and blood, baby.
Yeah.
No, I used to in a previous life used to work for an answering service, which is an interesting odd industry where we had like hundreds of accounts, everything from doctor's offices to apartment complexes, and that was how we could tell if it was a new customer sign up. If the only thing they cared about was fire, flood, or blood, FFB, then we knew it was some slumlord apartment complex, and you probably didn't want to actually live there. So that's the origin of that phrase, if you ever hear me say it in regards to VR.
FFB.
That's a good one.
Got it. All right, GS. Well, recently you posted a blog on VirtualBlox called What's New with SRM and vCR Replication 8.1. And so I want to unpack some of these new SRM and vCR replication features, starting with that shiny new interface. So why don't you start with that?
Yeah, so the biggest thing, the one that you're going to notice the first when you start playing around with it, is SRM and VR are now using a completely new, fancy, brilliant, shiny HTML5 interface. And it's one of those things where VMware heard their customers. It took us a little while, but yeah, we've got SRM and VR completely shifted over to the Clarity UI. So all HTML5. And in addition to just, porting over a lot of functionality, one of the cool things that they did as part of this was we also did a number of things to enhance workflows and make SRM and VR appear and work more as a single solution instead of as two separate solutions. So lots of fun stuff there.
Okay, so I know SRM and vCR replication are different solutions, but they're all inside of SRM, right? You can, when you install SRM, you have the option for deploying vCR replication as well, and then you see everything inside of SRM. So all that the same, or are they separate, or how has that changed?
They were always kind of separate solutions. So vCR replication, is something that you'd install. You install the appliance and, connect it up with your vSphere environment, and you could use vSphere replication without SRM. And that's still the case. In SRM, you can use without vSphere replication. But when you are wanting to use the two of them together, from a customer perspective, in the past, they were still kind of separate. So you'd go to one place to configure replications, and you'd go to a different spot to configure protection and your recovery. And so now what we did is we just kind of merged those two together. So, you know, when you go to the summary page, you're not just going to see your information about SRM, you're going to see your information about VR as well. When you go to configure replication for a VM, you're going to configure replication. And then as soon as you're done configuring it, as part of that same workflow, we'll give you the option of, hey, do you want to create a new protection group or add this to an existing protection group? And then when you're done with that, you know, do you want to create a new recovery plan or add it to an existing recovery plan? So, you know, you go from all the way from unprotected VM to replicated and completely protected, all as part of that same workflow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so full disclosure, I'm used to storage, right? Array-based replication.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So I would create a, you know, a volume, and then I would create a replication from one volume to the next. And then I would go into SRM and I would, you know, I would pray to the SRA gods, making sure that my, my replications would magically appear when I was creating my protection group. So with
you also had to go call the app owner and make sure that the right, okay, this VM is that VM or it's that app. Okay. Let me go move that VM there. Or make sure it gets placed there, and then make sure it stays there. So if you're using DRS,
storage DRS,
there's extra complications.
Yeah.
Versus VM replication, you don't have to worry about something going on with the storage. That's just one thing I've always hated with backup and DR is if you have to manually go touch four things every time you create a VM to make sure it gets protected properly.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to drop the ball.
Yeah, and that was a big thing that it's one of the big benefits of using vSphere application with site recovery managers. It just makes that process easier, and we've made it even easier in this latest release, just really combining the two of those together from a UI standpoint. And just so everybody knows too, and you know, it's probably been a while, John, since you've worked with SRM, but we actually solved that storage DRS issue as well. We actually allow you to use storage DRS with SRM. SRM will be aware of it just as long as the data stores that you're replicating are in a consistency group, and SRM will see, okay, I see that you have, you know, whatever, three data stores that are part of the same consistency group. You can turn on storage DRS and it'll make sure that those VMs only get moved to storage where SRM can still protect it.
No, see, that's nice, because you don't want your DRM backup to be this hand chiseling, you know, boutique small batch process, exactly, while everything else is automated. Woo, scripting, APIs.
Nice.
Yeah.
So bringing in vSphere replication into the interface, that's just new with the new H5 user interface?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. That's pretty clean. I like it. Looks so good too. So is it a complete port over? Everything is exactly the same in terms of, aside from bringing in vSphere replication, is everything else, does it work the same or any new enhancements or changes?
Yeah, no, all the functionality that, you know, if you're a customer that's familiar with SRM, you know, you're going to find all the functionality that you were used to. It's all going to be there. You know, nothing you have to do or change, you know, handle differently.
Good.
All the things that we've done are really just enhancements. I don't know if anybody, hopefully there's customers out there that remember when we switched from the thick client to the flash client. And that was kind of like a complete like revamp, like, you know, stuff moved around and everything. We didn't do that. We didn't, you know, try and rearrange everything. We just tried to enhance it. You know, take what you have, make it so that it's easy to use, you know, easy to find what you're familiar with, what you're looking for, and then just make it a little bit better.
Oh yeah. I remember using the Flash client, and I remember seeing the new web client version and getting a little nervous. I was like, "Uh-oh. Where is everything? Is this still going to work?"
Yeah.
So how do you upgrade?
There was a lot of that.
Is anything changing, like in terms of the upgrade? If I wanted to upgrade to the new version, is there a process, or is it a complete net new? Do I have to start from scratch, or is it an easy upgrade process?
Yeah, we've got a bunch of cool things when it comes to upgrades and kind of everything that goes along with upgrading. So in the past, SRM worked with a very specific version of vCenter. So if you had SRM 6.0, that worked with vCenter 6.0. When you wanted to upgrade vCenter, you had to upgrade SRM, you know, and vice versa. If you wanted to, and we had that same requirement at both sites. So it kind of made for a bit of complexity when it would come, and risk when it would come to upgrading. So what we've done now is we've completely decoupled SRM and VR from a specific version of vCenter. So if you're using SRM 8.1 and vSphere Application 8.1, those will work with any of either vCenter 6.0 U3, any version of 6.5, or vCenter 6.7.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I can actually peer from an 8.1 SRM instance to a previous version?
Well, it's not that you would, it's not that, you know, you're going to require 8.1 at both sites, but 8.1 will work with different versions of vCenter. So you could have vCenter.
You could replicate from a vCenter that's running 6.0 to one that's running 6.5. Or
6.7, yeah. Or 6.0 to 6.7, 6.5 to 6.0, yeah.
Yeah, build that is that's in the cloud also for VMC.
Exactly, yeah. And this requirement actually came from there because we wanted that capability for the DR as a service part of VMC on AWS. We wanted to give customers that flexibility. And so we made it so that, you know, whatever version of vCenter you're running, it'll work with the cloud, it'll work with your other site. And the nice thing is that, you know, as things change, you know, we don't force a customer to upgrade their on-prem vCenter. You know, if they need to stay on 6.0 yeah. U3 because, you know, whatever reason,
yeah,
hey, stay there as, you know, as long as you need to. So
wow, that's yeah. that's good.
And then the cool. other thing, you'd originally asked about upgrading. So from an upgrade standpoint, we made some enhancements as well. You know, we made it easier in terms of what version of vCenter you're running on right now to get to the latest version of SRM. And then we also changed it to where, you know, you want to get to SRM 8.1. We don't just support an upgrade from the previous version, which was SRM 6.5. We also support an upgrade from SRM 6.1. So you can go all the way back two versions to upgrade to the latest.
Oh, use okay.
as a backup or to migrate if you wanted to move to the embedded database.
Very cool. All right. Well, this next one is something I wish I had a couple of years ago when I was managing SRM. And I'm kind of mad that you guys have it now and you didn't have it a few years back. But hey, tell me a little bit more about this configuration import export tool.
Yeah. So like you said, you know, it's something that customers have wanted for a while. And that's just an ability to export out their complete configuration. So, you know, everything throughout the entire SRM environment, the protection groups, recovery plans, all the details of those, the network mappings, placeholder VMs, you know, advanced settings, all of that detail from SRM, customers want a way of really to be able to back that up and recover it if they need to. And so that's what we've added is this complete, it'll allow you to do a full export of your configuration. And then, you know, if you needed to, for whatever reason, something happened in your environment, you needed to restore that, you can pull everything back in. You can schedule those backups. So if it's something that you want to schedule on an ongoing basis, that's something you can do. But right now, this is all just a command line tool. But, you know, and when I say scheduling it, you know, you could schedule it through a scheduled task on Windows or something like that.
Okay.
And it also provides for a nice way of doing migrations. So if you wanted to, if your customer's right now using the SQL or Oracle as their database and they wanted to move to the embedded database, which supports the full scale of SRM,
oh yeah,
this export-import tool will provide a capability for doing that.
I'm thinking here of, you know, who's watching the Watchmen here? Who's protecting, you know, what's protecting the protection tools, I guess, so to speak. So this is kind of nice that you've got a pathway to make that. But also, it looks like this can also migrate database types. So that's really interesting, being able to go yeah. from, as you know, we've already seen with vCenter getting off of that traditional, you know, Microsoft SQL dependency most people had. But no, that's nice of also having a clean migration path and not just be, hey, you have to deploy again if you want to get on the new database that all the cool kids are using.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And just to be clear, that database, the embedded database with SRM supports the full scale of SRM. So there's no, unless you really like using SQL or you like using Oracle or whatever, there's no reason to use those otherwise.
External dependencies on a fully blown external large database for protection or management tools just always makes me nervous, because if there's any type of interruption, I like having that self-contained in the same OS, fewer VMs to troubleshoot, because if everything's on fire, we've got fire, flood, blood, it's like I need is this one VM to be working to be able to make everything else work, or a few VMs need to be working.
Yeah, I've never had a problem with exactly. I've never had a problem with the embedded DB before.
Yeah. Yeah, it just works.
Yep.
It's really nice that they added that in there. So after the import export, one of the other cool things that we did is we've we're always working to grow the limits of SRM.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot more stuff obviously on the way in that regard. But right now, one of the things we did is we heard from a number of customers about wanting more protection groups. If they're, you know, especially in larger customers where they're protecting a number of applications and they want to separate those applications out into each of their own protection groups. So we bumped that limit up from 250 up to 500. So whole bunch, you know, if you have an environment with a lot of applications, you know, we got you covered.
Yeah, that's a lot, man. I can't even imagine. I mean, I never worked in a huge enterprise with a big, you know, with tons of applications, but 500 seems pretty ample.
Yeah, I would hope so. Yeah, especially those customers that were running into that. I hope they're happy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right, so this next one, I have a question for you because I could have sworn back in the day that SRM had support for FT, but now it says that it's new in 8.1. Why is that?
Yeah, so SRM used to support, when we first came out with FT, that was the version of FT that was single processor only.
Yeah.
SRM worked with that. And, you know, and it would work with it in that, you know, if you had an FT protected VM and that was also protected by SRM, SRM would recover that, and then it would recover it without FT enabled, and you'd have to manually re-enable FT.
Fair enough.
But then we came out with multiprocessor FT, and probably not a lot of customers are familiar with this, but multiprocessor FT is actually, it wasn't like an enhancement on uniprocessor FT. It's actually like a completely different solution. Like under the covers, it works completely differently from uniprocessor FT. And part of that difference broke SRM's ability to protect it. And so what we've done is we worked out those issues, and FT protected VMs are now supported being protected by SRM.
Ah, okay. For any type of FT protected VM.
Yeah, exactly. Because we've, and again, most customers, a lot of this happened kind of under the covers, but if you're an FT customer, I believe in 6.5, we deprecated uniprocessor FT. Yeah. And when I say uniprocessor FT, I mean, it really is like legacy FT. The current version of FT will support doing single vCPUs also. It's just, we deprecated that old version of FT that was actually called, internally, we called it record and replay, where we were actually replaying CPU instructions on the secondary VM. The new FT is a lot more like, it's like an XV motion where you're moving both storage and compute at the same time. It's like one of those kind of V motions that just never ends. So,
very cool.
I will say is if you go talk to like application, or you talk to software developers or DBAs, and you're like, hey, here's this thing we can do. Like their mind is blown by that. And they'll have some piece of code or something that they could never figure out how to load balance or make highly resilient. And so as an infrastructure person, you know, in my gut, I'm like, you shouldn't have to use FT. You should have resilient applications.
Yeah.
And then you talk to some actual DBA who's got some 30 years of legacy code and is like, I have this thing that if it goes down, I don't know, someone might die. is there anything you guys can do to fix? Like it's, you need to engage with your application people because you have things that probably might need FT. You're just not aware of it because they're all trying to, it's like an elephant in the room that they built something or own or maintain something that critical and yet, you know, doesn't have it natively in the app layer.
Yeah.
Yeah. FT, obviously, you know, a lot of really high-end applications are going to already have built-in, you know, redundancy and fault tolerance. But you know, it's awesome that there's another product out there inside of VMware that will give you that fault tolerance for the ones that don't. So, yeah. And I'm glad that SRM supports it. That's awesome. So moving on to the one that's pretty exciting to me, which is automation. I love making things easy. I remember back in the day with SRM, I was so excited when the very first Power CLI commandlets came out and we were able to actually start automating some failovers and, you know, and just making it just showing the entire process of using not only just, you know, the open API for SRM, but also Power CLI commandlets when they started coming out. So what's new in the world of automation for SRM?
Yeah, so we're in this release, we're just continuing to expose APIs. So in the previous releases, especially the 6.5 release, we published a huge number of APIs and yeah. We made those available through VRO. In this release, we added two more. And one of them is pretty big, and that's the ability to configure and retrieve IP customization settings. So anything that you want to do as far as customizing your IP addresses for VMs, just giving you an ability to do that through the API. And then also an ability to add and remove data stores from array-based replication protection groups. For right now, those are only available through the API, but shortly they'll be available through the VRO plugin for SRM as well.
Cool. All right. So, GS, question. I know that we had you on a couple of, I don't know, it was a couple of months ago, actually, and we were doing VR as a service. We were talking about VMware Cloud on AWS, how they've got, you know, disaster recovery there, which is sort of like, it's kind of like a version of SRM, but it's not SRM. And so what's the compatibility with doing DR as a service and using SRM on-prem? Is there any compatibility?
Yeah. So they're actually using the same version of SRM now. The VMware Cloud on AWS has been all upgraded to the latest version of SRM, and it now works with on-prem as well as with VMware Cloud on AWS. So you can, let's say that in your environment, you had, you're protecting some of your workloads to your DR site, but for whatever reason, you wanted to protect other ones into VMware Cloud, you can do that. Fully supported to, you know, do that kind of multi-site configuration, protect VMs where they need to go, depending on, you know, what they are, what your requirements are.
Ah, okay. Okay. Yeah, because I remember when it first came out, I think there was a version incompatibility, right?
Yeah, the original version of SRM and VR that was part of the VMware Cloud on AWS release, that was 8.0, and that just worked with from on-prem to VMware Cloud. There wasn't a way to use that between sites. So with 8.1, we now support both directions. So on-prem to on-prem, or on-prem to cloud, or really both, you know, just kind of standard SRM multi-site configuration.
You heard it here, folks. GS goes both ways.
That's SRM that goes both ways.
I mean, SRM goes both ways.
DR in every direction. We're dodging meteor strikes. So it's like one of those bad disaster movies. All right. We gotta fail over one step ahead of the meteor storm or whatever. So.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And that does get back to another use case for SRM that's a really large use case, which is migrations. It's not just about DR. It's also about helping move things. And so while you may be trying to dodge those meteor strikes, you might just say, well, we've got to move workloads over here because of capacity reasons while we wait on some new hardware to show up, or we're just migrating out of this data center and we need an easy, safe way to do that.
Yeah, SRM is a fantastic way of handling those data center migrations, or, you know, really just moving workloads around. And we actually find that a huge number of customers who buy SRM start with that use case. So they use SRM originally for a migration, and then after the fact go, hey, we've got this, you know, it worked great from a migration standpoint. Hey, let's use it for DR too. So.
Yep. Well, that's it. Once you start playing with it, once you start testing it and seeing how easy it is to actually migrate, that puts the seed in your mind and says, wait, this is way more than disaster recovery.
I remember starting with like 100 pack for a migration of like, okay, we got to get these 100 VMs out really quick because we need to get off a bunch of stuff. And then we're like, oh, this kind of handy. And we've got another data center. Okay, let's just kind of expand, grab a couple more packs and just do everything in DR. So yeah, the migration first.
Yeah, and I can test it. I can test it and see exactly how long it's going to take. I can troubleshoot all the bugs.
You want to do YOLO migrations, Pete? or my favorite were the physical migrations where you're like, well, we can't move that data in one shot, you know, so we have to, like, you end up with like a rack of, you know, a data center that's riding the subway through the streets of New York or whatever.
Yeah, no, like Pete was saying, I mean, that testing capability is still, to me, that's one of the coolest parts of SRM, is that non-disruptive test. I still get a kick out of that every time.
Oh, yeah. Well, please, I don't think I've ever set up a new SRM environment and ran my test and it worked perfect the first time.
Yeah, I mean, you always, there's some application that you forgot, or there's a networking configuration that wasn't done correctly, yep. Or, you know, whatever it is.
You boot your DNS last. That's really a bad idea.
Exactly. Yeah, I do love the testing. I love that functionality inside of SRM. It's always been a great product. It looks amazing now in the H5 client and super fast. I love the fact that the vSphere replication is tied right into it, so I don't have to go outside of the product to completely design. I think that just totally makes it a much more simple and usable product. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, and the last thing that we did, you know, speaking of vSphere replication, was we migrated vSphere replication to Photon OS. So almost all of the appliances within VMware are moving towards Photon OS, or yes. I should say, I think everything's moving towards it, but a lot of things have already moved there. But vSphere application is one more of those that's now using Photon OS. So it just makes it that much easier to manage, more secure, you know, more optimized for VMware, all that cool stuff.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Sweet. All right. Well, GS, I know you're going to VMworld. I see you there every year, and I'm sure you're going to be talking SRM. But what else you got going on? Are you doing the big SRM session at VMworld? Anything else?
No, just kind of standard SRM sessions at VMworld, and you know, otherwise, a bunch of stuff around, you know, cool demos that I'm working on, lots of fun presentations that people will get a chance to check out before too long. But yeah, that's about it.
Very cool. Very cool. I will. Yeah. And if you're looking for GS at VMworld, he looks a little different these days.
yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah. I'm not going to say better or worse. He just looks different. Yeah. You know. So if you're looking for the same
stealth
GS.
Mode.
Yeah, he's in stealth mode. So he kind of.
Yeah, stealth mode. Yeah.
He kind of blends in with the rest of us middle-aged men at VMworld now. Awesome. All right. Well, GS, thank you for coming on, my friend. We will see you at VMworld, and we will catch you on the Twitters. I will leave links to your blog, to your to Twitter, and all the other good things on the show notes of this podcast. John, anything else before GS? Before we let him go?
No. Let's fail this over.
Oh man, that was cheesy. All right, well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch all of these episodes on vspeakingpodcast.com. We will be with you next week, but until then, hasta la vista, and bye for now.
Thanks for coming on, GS. You are
sure.
Amazing guest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lordy.
Ah, you're the virtual speaking guy.
See?
Let's fail this over.
Dude, that was the best. Enough of this jibber jabber.